Today, we will look at free will from a very deep perspective. We will explore an atheist's perspective on free will and why they say that free will does not exist. And at the same time, we will look at Advaita Vedanta's perspective on free will. And my goal is to clarify free will once and for all. By the end of this video, you should be able to have a certain level of clarity and understanding on free will so that you never think about free will again in your life. With that, let's begin today's quest. And I will start by reading out certain statements and certain points that were shared by Sam Harris, who is an atheist who has a particular view on free will, where he says free will does not exist at any level or at any dimension. Harris argues that all of our thoughts, intentions, and actions are ultimately the result of causes beyond our conscious control. And this is a similar position taken by any atheist out there. So let's analyze his statements and then let's try to look at it deeply from the Vedantic perspective. Number one, he says you don't choose your thoughts. He emphasizes that thoughts simply appear in your consciousness. If you try to observe the process of choosing a thought, you'll find that it arises spontaneously. Since we don't control the thoughts, we don't control the choices we make based on those thoughts. Number two, every decision has a cause. Free will is an illusion because our choices are determined by prior causes and we don't control those causes. These prior causes might be genetic predispositions, neurochemical states, upbringing, social, environmental factors, and so on. So his point is, if we do not have control over all these factors, then how are we in control of our choices, which are in turn a result of all of these factors? Number three, the illusion of the conscious self as the author. The feeling of authorship or doership itself is a product of causes. While we feel like we are consciously making decisions, this feeling comes after the brain has already begun initiating the action. Neuroscience experiments show that brain activity predicting a decision can be detected before a person becomes consciously aware of making a choice. So here it states that even neuroscience tells us that free will is an illusion. So bottom line, free will is an illusion. And our wills are simply not our own making. We are biological machines, incredibly complex, yes, but still subject to cause and effect. We do what we do because of who we are. And who we are is not something we freely choose. And some atheists also speak about desires and wants. Our choices are based on our desires and wants, which we do not control. We already have strong desires and wants. Based on that, we choose different things. So again, since we are not in control of our desires, we are not in control of our choices. So this is the worldview that is presented to us by the atheists of the world. Now let's try to decode this further. I will talk about three paradigms here. Ultimately, as per Advaita Vedanta, at the highest paradigm, the third paradigm, there is absolutely nothing called free will because non-duality talks about how everything is one. So if there is no subject, if there is no object, there is no free will. So ultimately there is only consciousness, there is only Brahman, there is only God as per Vedanta. But for the sake of this video, we will keep that aside. We will keep the highest paradigm aside and we will discuss this relative dimension of Maya and how we experience this world. Now, for most people, in most of the cases, what the atheists are telling makes absolute sense. It is purely logical. Most of us, if we look at our experiences, it is totally based on different factors that are out of our control. And we are unconscious. We live our lives unconsciously most of the times. So then how can we be exercising free will if we are acting unconsciously and if we are simply following a pattern? We already have wants within us. We already have desires within us. And because of our desires, we choose different things. Now, you chose to open this video and select this video and watch this video because you were inherently interested in this video. A person who was not interested in this topic did not click on this video and hence he's not watching this video. So the very act of you watching this video is an unconscious choice. And this choice was determined by your deepest tendency or want or desire to understand the nature of reality and to understand free will itself. So the very act of you trying to understand free will is coming from an unconscious choice, and hence this entire process is happening without the necessity of free will or an agency. Now, this is the argument, which makes perfect sense at one dimension. Because, like I said, if we look at our own lives, most of the times we act unconsciously. And even how this happens is elaborately explained in Vedanta. Vedanta simply doesn't say your choices are coming from your desires and your wants and your tendencies. Vedanta goes further to explain why we are the way we are. It states our past actions from various lifetimes has caused and has resulted in something called as karma, which is memory that we hold deep within ourselves. And this memory again has resulted in a certain identity, which we call swabhava. Our swabhava is our deepest nature, which gives rise to our wants and desires and tendencies. These tendencies in Vedanta are called vasanas. Vasanas are deep-seated tendencies because of which we take different decisions, we act and we behave in a certain way. These vasanas again are coming from our swabhava and our karma, our past actions. So even if we look at the logic that was presented by Sam Harris and other atheists, it makes perfect sense that there is no free will here. But still, this worldview is missing something. It is missing the understanding of consciousness. Although for most of us who are unconscious, during most of the times, there is no free will as such. There is an apparent free will in this dimension. There is a free will that we can exercise. Now let's take an example here. Let's say there were two twins and they had a father. And this father was an alcoholic. He was abusive and he was a very violent person. Now, because of his father's nature, one of the two brothers, one of the twins, became exactly like his father. He became an alcoholic, he became an abusive person, he became a violent person because he was influenced by his father's actions and behavior. Now, at the same time, his younger brother, another twin, became totally the opposite. He learned from the mistakes of his father and decided to be a good person instead. He decided to be the opposite of his father. He became kind, he became generous, he worked diligently, and he became a successful, happy, peaceful person. Now, although this is a made-up story, we find this to be true in many places. If we look at twins in different families, although they are born and brought up under the same family circumstances, they turn out to be totally different people based on their deepest tendencies. Now, what is it that makes the difference here? Although the stimulus was same, although the influence was same, although the environment was same, how each of these individuals chose to interpret that stimuli was totally different. How each of these brothers chose to react to their circumstances was very different. Now, again, their inherent disposition itself might be coming from karma, from their past life. But if we examine this phenomenon deeply, we see that there is always a choice. Take a look at your own life. Now, let's say you have been eating all sorts of food, you have been drinking alcohol, and you have been living a certain kind of life until today. And if you examine your deepest tendencies and desires and wants, even they are in alignment with your actions and how your life has been. Even your deepest wants and desires are tamasic, and you like to sleep, you like to eat, and you don't like to work out, and this is your nature. Now, as per the logic that is presented by different atheists, if there is absolutely no free will, then the destiny for such a person is fixed. Right? Because of his desires, because of his wants, because of his environment, because of his conditioning, and because of his own nature, he can only do things in a certain way and he can only make choices in a certain way. But do you think if a person is in this situation, or if you are in this situation, you have a choice not to get influenced by your desires? You have a choice to overcome your conditioning and choose something which your conditioning, which your desires, which all of your influences do not permit you to choose. Now, it's a very deep question. Just think about this. Let's say your entire conditioning has been in a certain way. Your external reality is in a certain way, and your own nature and your own tendencies and your desires are in a certain way. What I'm asking is, do you have the capability to do something which is against your desires, which is against your conditioning, which is against all of your influences? If the answer is no, then there is no free will. But if the answer is yes, then in this dimension of Maya, there is an opportunity for us to experience free will if we choose to. Now, the question is whether most of us are choosing to experience free will. The answer is no. Most of us are not using free will. We are conditioned beings and we live conditioned lives, and each of our actions have a cause. And if we trace back that cause, it goes back to another cause. So there are a chain of events which has resulted in a certain kind of life for us, and this in turn is determining our future choices. But if we examine this phenomenon carefully, we will find that there is always an opportunity to make a choice which is against our desires themselves, which is against our wants themselves. That opportunity is still there. Now, to this, an atheist might say, even that choice comes from another want or another desire which supersedes this desire. But what I'm saying here is that if we keep all the desires aside, we still have the capability, at least theoretically, to make a choice which is not in alignment with any desire or want. We can choose to do something which is against our own desires. Let's say your desire is to eat and sleep and drink and smoke. This is your deepest desire. I'm saying there is still a capability within you. If you make use of it, you can will freely against your desires and choose a lifestyle which is not in alignment with your desires or your own current nature. You have a choice in this dimension. This choice is called volition. Although our current desires and wants are determining our life, and our choices currently are determined by our desires and wants, our desires and wants themselves are a result of our past karma, of our past actions. This doesn't mean our life is fixed, our destiny is fixed, because just like our past karma and our past actions have given result to our current disposition, our current nature, our current desires, our present actions gives rise to our future disposition and our future desires and wants. So every moment, if we become aware, if we become conscious, and if we act not from the place of conditioned ego, but from a place of awareness, then we have the power to exercise free will. Whether we make use of it or not is up to us. So definitely saying that there is no free will at any level is wrong, because there is an opportunity, there is a potential which lies within each and every one of us to exercise free will and to make a choice which is against our desires, which is against our wants, and which is against all sorts of influences and conditioning. That opportunity is always there, and it is given to us by this universe.